Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. To date, more than 400 are confirmed dead. 2,044 people have been rescued, more than 1,000 of them injured, and 1,000 are unaccounted for and are still trapped inside the concrete wreckage of the collapsed garment factory in Bangladesh. Meanwhile, the Western multinational corporations who subcontract sewing their brands to Bangladesh stubbornly refuse to join workplace safety plans in Bangladesh. And by the way, Bangladesh has an economy where more than 80% of its exports are actually from apparel trade. These multinationals who refuse to compensate the injured and the families of those who previously died sewing their brands. We will see how they respond to this latest tragedy. Certainly the most recent lack of response was to the infamous Tazreen factory fire blaze in November, where 112 died and where dozens more factory fires since have occurred and hundreds have lost their lives. In the Rana Plaza building collapse, 400 plus workers are dead. How many more people will have to sacrifice their lives for the corporate bottom line?
We begin our coverage with news clips, followed by an emotional statement by Kalpunar Akhtar, director of the Bangladesh Center for Worker Solidarity, who was in this country this past week campaigning for justice for the victims of the Tazreen factory fire, which occurred last November.
The death toll continues to rise following the collapse of a building in Bangladesh on Wednesday morning. The eight-story Rana Plaza building just outside the capital, Dhaka, was home to a number of factories supplying Western clothing retailers.
We didn't want to go up to the factory this morning, but the management forced us to go up and said there was no problem with the building. Just after I sat at my table to work, the building just collapsed. I couldn't even leave.
Inside at about 9:10 a.m., the building collapsed and we have been trapped inside since then and up to now. It is 10:18 p.m., 11 hours. We were trapped. We did not want to enter the building, but the owners pushed us in to go to work.
Families gathered at a nearby school where the bodies were being taken. Many wept as they held up photos, desperately seeking news of their relatives. The Rana Plaza building collapse follows a fire at another factory on the outskirts of Dhaka that killed 112 people in November, and another incident at a factory in January in which seven people died, raising concerns about worker safety and low wages in Bangladesh.
Sonia Akhtar spent 2 days without food or water, stuck in the rubble of this nine-story building. She was one of thousands of garment workers inside the complex when it suddenly collapsed.
I was stuck. Nobody saved me. We were all screaming for help.
With each hour that went by, the painful screams around her turned to silence. Before she knew it, she was the only one shouting out for help. With one leg stuck, she used all the strength she had to pull herself out of the rubble.
They yanked me, tearing the meat of my other leg.
Rescuers are still pulling people out of the rubble. Hundreds of loved ones are waiting for news of their relatives, but patience is running thin. Security forces fired tear gas to quell the angry crowd. The protests quickly spread across the capital as thousands of garment workers took to the streets, demanding justice, forcing all garment factories in Dhaka's industrial zone to shut down.
We want the owners of the complex hanged. Because of them, many of our co-workers died.
As the days go by, the chances of finding more survivors are diminishing. The stench of corpses surrounding the collapsed building are a brutal reminder the cost workers have paid to make clothes sold at rock-bottom prices.
Oh. Hi, everyone. You might not see the big smile, and I would say that I will keep fighting. This is another day. I'm here with broken heart. I was work all the night. and counting every single moment the bodies, how many bodies we found. It is a couple of thousand is still in the trap in the factory, and we really don't know what would be the death toll. My heart with those workers and with those families, with those workers who lost their life before dying, they couldn't even, you know, imagine their beloved face. This morning, Shumi was telling me that I'm luckier than those workers because I was even able to, you know, run around the factory to save my life. And lately I jumped. But these workers, they're unlucky than me. They couldn't even think what happening. They just died. And all those happening because of these greedy corporations like Walmart. We are telling them last 2 years to sign the Bangladeshi Fire and Building Safety Agreement, which they are not doing. If they would do that, they can prevent this death. We need to say shame on these greedy corporations. I never thought that I'm going to cry in front of you all and say that I have broken heart today. I always wanted to give strength to you people that so many things going on with us, but we'll keep fighting and we will win.
We'll win! We're with you!
I'm sorry, I just wanted to wipe my tears and want to say that this is enough. This is enough! Pay the compensation to the workers of these two factories, Tazreen, and the workers who lost their life, and we don't know how many we are going to lose. How big will be the list in next time? And we wanted to call all of them, this greedy corporation, to sign the Bangladeshi Fire and Building Safety Code to prevent the death, prevent this death toll. Thank you all.
And that was Kalpona Akda, Executive Director of the Bangladesh Center for Worker Solidarity. And she was just catching her breath when we spoke with her last week before the collapse of the Rana Plaza building. Still, she was reeling along with other survivors of the Tazreen factory fire blaze in November, where 112 died. And just literally immediately after interviewing her, we heard of the Rana Plaza collapse, and it just seared like a knife through the heart of this remarkable, important woman who has spent her entire life fighting for workers' rights in Bangladesh and really for all sweated labor. And it's a great pleasure to have with us now Barbara Briggs, the Assistant Director of the Institute for Global Labor and Human Rights.
Hi.
Well, it's good to have you here, but it is enormously painful to be speaking to this issue once again, and this time looking at the collapse of the Rana Plaza building, where over 400 workers were effectively murdered. I mean, would you consider that to be an improper statement that this was really, I mean, as a lawyer, I would certainly say that I would like to see the prosecution of the factory owners. And I would say those people whose labels were being sewn.
I would not consider that an improper statement at all. As you said, there are over 400 confirmed dead, but the death toll is actually much higher. There were over 3,500 workers in that factory when it went down. 2,370 have been accounted for. Over 1,000 of those have been hospitalized with injuries, some of them severe, and still about 1,000 are listed as missing. The death toll, the 400 number, actually stopped, and because the rescue recovery operations had to be stopped because of huge fire that was sparked due to blow, from the blowtorches. So the number would be much higher, except that they haven't been able to excavate the bodies. The Bangladeshi government and others say there's almost zero chance that anyone is going to be rescued alive at this point. The scene is horrific. Whole families have come in from the countryside to look for their loved ones. First, they go to the makeshift morgue that's at a local high school in Sivar. They put up flyers with pictures of their sons and daughters and brothers and sisters all over the walls. It looked like 9/11. It looks like 9/11 did in New York City. If they don't find the bodies of their loved ones, then they go to the site, and at any given time, there'll be several thousand family members at the school and at the site of the collapse. They're sleeping on the floors of relatives. They're sleeping in the bus stations. They're sleeping in the street, and just desperate to find out what happened with, as I said, now still 1,000 unaccounted for. It's just a horrific scene, and this was a factory that was producing, or five factories that were producing for dozens of Canadian, European, and U.S. labels. We know this. Now, what almost makes it worse is that the workers knew the building was not safe. A huge crack formed in the exterior on Tuesday, and the workers refused to go into work. So the workers on Tuesday had refused to go into work. They called a union leader who they trusted, who was in their neighborhood and who had helped them in the past. He came, he backed them up and said, absolutely. You could put your hand in this crack. You could see through to the interior of the factory. They called a local inspector. The local government inspector said, absolutely, this building is not safe. On Wednesday morning, the workers came back to see what was going on. And the factory managers and the building owner ordered them back in. The building owner is a sort of a local neighborhood strongman. He had thugs with sticks. He said, "You will be beaten if you don't go back in." The management of the factory said, "We have orders due. If the orders don't go in on time, we won't be paid, so you won't be paid." And on fear of not being able to feed their families, not getting the month's pay, as well as with the threat of thugs who would start beating them up at any moment, they went in at 8 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. At 9 o'clock in the morning, 1 hour later, the building came down with over 3,500 people in it. If those workers, by the way, had a union, hundreds of lives would have been saved. The extraordinary thing is that nobody had their back. They were not allowed to organize. They didn't have an organized voice. They were not allowed to bargain collectively or speak as one voice. If that had been the case, they would not have died.
Barbara, I wanted to pick up on your last point, because there are mass protests in Bangladesh right now, every day, I assume, getting stronger. I hear that blocked a road recently also, that two factories were set fire to, that cars were burned. What do you think it'll take to change the situation?
I think that what it's going to take is real concerted pressure from U.S. consumers, the U.S. government. The U.S. companies have to move, but the workers need their right to organize. That's the safe, that's the way to keep factories, safe and to know what's going on. We need the right to know what factories our products are in. We need the names and addresses of the factories that produce our products. And it's time that our government came down. I mean, we give Bangladesh trade privileges. They get duty-free access to the United States for a lot of their products under the generalized system of preferences, and that's conditioned on respect for human and worker rights. It's time for those principles. It's time for Bangladesh to step up to its side of the agreement, which is assuring compliance with fundamental human rights and fundamental worker rights, including the rights to organize and bargain collectively. And that's clearly not happening.
As a matter of fact, one of the things that we discussed recently with Kalpana Akhtar, as one of her colleagues who was a labor rights organizer, was found tortured and murdered. And the fact of the matter has been there is enormous complicity on the part of the government with the factory owners, with the entrepreneurs themselves. Indeed, even in the Rana Plaza, entrepreneur is said to have connections with and role in government. So the situation seems very dire, but the reality is that clearly the workers and what Ken described as what's going on at the street are a manifestation of the workers refusing to just be victimized and standing up for themselves regardless of the terrible odds. But I want you to respond to a question that has given me enormous consternation and disturbance. And very often in liberal media here, what's been said is, why are these advocates? Indeed, I think advocates such as Barbara Briggs and Charlie Kernaghan and their organization complaining about the labels here who subcontract to sew in places like Bangladesh. They're really just supporting the economy, lifting up the economy. They're almost heroic. And if anybody has a problem, it's the factory owners themselves. The labels such as Walmart or Disney or Sears or JCPenney or H&M, they have no responsibility in this kind of collapse. They have no responsibility in the dozens of other fires that occurred recently or the Tazreen factory fire. What is your response?
Walmart, Disney, JCPenney, Benetton, Sears, they're all chasing the lowest wages, the least benefits, and that directly converts into sweatshops and no rights. The workers in these factories were making between 14 cents an hour for helpers, 23 cents an hour for junior sewing operators, and up to a grand high of 26 cents an hour. Bangladesh is competing based on offering the lowest wages in the world, which means keeping its workers at and their families, of course, at subsistence-level wages and keeping them unorganized. The workers in the factories in Rana Plaza are working 6 and 7 days a week. They were working 12 to 14 hours a day at those wages of 14 to 26 cents an hour. We, a few years ago, were in Bangladesh, and we were undercover pretending to be business people, and we were in a factory that was producing for Walmart. And evidently, we were asking too many pointed questions, and at one point, the manager turned to us and said, you seem very interested in Walmart. Do you want me to tell you about Walmart? And we, of course, said yes. And he said, well, a couple of weeks ago, the Walmart's buyer was in here, and he said he would give me a giant order that would keep my factory running for the next 6 months. And I told him that if he could give me that work and give me one penny more per garment, I would be able to give my workers health care. I'd be able to make their lives better. Do you know what he said to me? He said, no, cut the price by 2 cents. That's mm-hmm. what's happening. Walmart and the other U.S. companies are basically pushing wages and conditions down and down and down. And the Bangladeshi government, just like developing country governments across the world, know that if they enforce their typically decent worker rights, that these U.S. multinational companies will up and go elsewhere. The competition and the pressure is downward, and there's no floor. Until we have laws to protect the rights of workers in the global economy, there won't be a floor. It'll simply be unfettered competition. A few years ago, we submitted a bill in Congress. It was called the Decent Working Conditions and Fair Competition Act, and it was based on three simple premises. Transparency, that we should have the right to know the names and addresses of the factories that produce our products, no matter where. Also, no import, no export, and no sale of sweatshop products. You know, not a blanket protectionism or cutting out a whole country, but rather if a factory is a sweatshop, be it in Bangladesh or El Salvador or Canada or the United States, those products should not be allowed to be sold on our market or imported or exported. And also the third premise was the right of private action. If workers who were harmed by companies enforcing sweatshop conditions, if interested parties like consumers or shareholders were harmed by the fact that a company was not respecting the human and labor rights of its workers, then they should be able to take out a lawsuit. We need something like that. Until we have laws with teeth that will protect the rights of workers in the global economy. This will simply be one more in a string of tragedies.
And to make sure that this isn't just one more in a string of tragedies, that it's not just this week's headlines, how can we keep up on the news and find out ways to pressure these corporations and our government to make change in Bangladesh? I assume there's information of that nature on your website.
Absolutely, and it's www.glhr.org. And we're updating the website constantly with information. There will be action opportunities, although it's a tough one. I mean, we need laws. We need something with teeth. And, you know, that's a tough proposition.
Well,
the corporations don't want it. The government seems not to want it. We need to push for it.
Well, there are things like the Alien Tort Claim Act, but we've gotten hurt a lot in the courts on these issues. But folks have gone after Exxon and the Royal Shell, et cetera, for their pollution and destruction in other countries for really just absolute devastation of the environment and death of the peoples there. In the minute or so that we have left, Barbara, what would you say are the two or three main things that we should be working on here, the kinds of laws, the kind of international labor rights that have to be built on to hold the H&Ms, the JCPenney's, the Sears, the Disney's, the Walmarts, and so many other brands, but most definitely the Walmarts accountable for?
I think that there was a credible proposition on the table with regard to demanding that our U.S. companies and that European and Canadian companies put real money into fire safety, which, you know, I mean, these buildings are structurally with huge problems, with lack of fire safety, with lack of fire exits and that kind of thing. The Walmart in particular stood up and said that's too expensive, and all the U.S. companies simply fled since Walmart had taken the lead. And we need to press our elected officials for credible legislative alternatives. We need laws that will protect the rights of workers in the global economy. Right now, there's nothing on the table. It has not been a priority, and it needs to be made one.
Well, people like Barbara Briggs, Assistant Director of the Institute for Global Labor and Human Rights. I got a whole bunch of calls, by the way, saying, oh, you've got Barbara on. Say hello. I can't even tell you who. But they were labor lawyers and people from various international communities who have such enormous respect for the kind of work that you have been doing for decades. And with people like Barbara and with on-the-ground folks like Kalpona Akhtar, this too will be accomplished. And the workers in Bangladesh are relating to the workers in India, are relating to the workers in China, are relating to the workers in Pakistan, and we will make this into an international workers' movement to stop these atrocities and indeed the corporate race to the bottom line. Barbara Briggs, thank you so much.
Well, thanks. And you guys have been tireless, and if we all put in what we can, maybe we can get this done.
We will. We will.
We definitely will.
Arise, you workers, from your slumber, all you wage slaves, everyone.
The revolution comes like thunder, and the age of hypocrisy is done.
Turn off their televised illusion. Stand up and look them in the eyes.
Declare your mental liberation. Shake off the dust and claim the prize.
So comrades, come.
It's amazing how many wonderful things you can do with the international, but the major thing we have to do with it is make sure that we understand that what happens with workers' rights has to be an international movement. There's globalization of capital, and we've got to globalize the workers' rights movement.
Chains.
has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.